Please take your Bible this morning and open to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 6. Proverbs, chapter number 6. Proverbs is a wonderful book. We did go through this together in the adult Sunday school class a couple of years back, and can't speak for all the members of the class, but I had a great time with it. And every once in a while, I come across some things in the Bible that I feel like I need to talk about with you and discuss with you. And this particular passage we're going to look at today in Proverbs chapter 6 is one of those times. I've actually been sitting on this outline for, of course, not literally sitting on it, but you know, waiting to deliver it. It just struck me funny after I said it. Waiting to deliver it for a couple of weeks. And I've decided to do that this Sunday today. So Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19 is our text. And that's where we're going to stay. We'll spend all of our time here today. I want you to notice here, the Bible says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." We have here a list of seven things that the Lord, the Bible says, hates. God is definitely against these types of behavior, these types of things. I did want to say something else about the book of Proverbs, and I will right after I pray. So let me pray first, and then I'll give you that thought about Proverbs. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have to be together today. And thank you for the book of Proverbs, and thank you for all the wisdom that's found in it. I do pray that you'll guide and direct us today, and especially me, as I'm the speaker. And I want to say what you want me to say, and I don't want to say what you don't want me to say. So please guide and direct my thoughts and my words, and help me to be a mouthpiece for Almighty God during the sermon, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, about the book of Proverbs, there's 31 chapters altogether. Many of our months, of course, just have 30 days. Some of them have 31. There's one that normally has 28, and every 4 years has 29. That's the month of February, of course. But anyway, I'm telling you all that to say this. I haven't done this recently, but I did do this for a number of years, and probably we'll get back to it sometime soon. It's easy to be able to read one chapter per day each month going through the book of Proverbs. And the reason that this is so important is because the book of Proverbs is jam-packed with all kinds of wisdom for daily living. There's all kinds of wisdom about child training, child rearing, husband and wife relationships, relationships between you and other people, relationships between you and unsaved people. Of course, relationships with you and God. There's things in here about finances. There's things in here about all kinds of different subjects, okay? The book of Proverbs really is a book of wisdom for God's people to learn from and try their best to practice. So I would encourage you to read the book of Proverbs on a regular basis. If you choose to try to read through it in a month and, you know, pick a day with 31 days and read a chapter every day, that's a great and wonderful thing. I would encourage you, naturally, you've heard me say this many, many times, to read the Bible every day. It's very good for you, and it'll help you spiritually to grow and become grounded in your Christian faith. And, you know, another thing that will happen if you'll read God's Word every day, including the book of Proverbs, is that when the devil comes, you will be equipped to fight him off. Naturally, with the Lord's help, but you'll be able to resist him. Like the Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So it's important for us to be in the Word of God. Having said all that, today our message comes from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. And perhaps you've run across this in your life. I know I have. I've run across people who believe that God is all love and nothing else. Well, the truth is, if you read the Bible from cover to cover, you're going to quickly come to the conclusion that God is not just love. He is love. He's very loving. He's very kind. He's very compassionate. He's long-suffering. He's forgiving. I mean, there's many, many wonderful attributes about our God that really can be wrapped up in the fact that he loves you and me, and I'm so glad that he does, but that's not all that he is. God is also a God of judgment and justice, and God is a God who, according to this passage, actually does hate some things. Now, these are not all the things that he hates, okay? But there's a list of them here that I think would do us well to look at and consider, and by the way, try to avoid, because after all, our Heavenly Father hates these things. Notice the list again. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. What we're going to do today is just going to look at each one individually, spend a couple minutes on each one, and then I'll wrap it all up with a pretty bow in the end. Okay? But I hope you'll enjoy this. I hope it'll speak to your heart, and I hope it'll help you to see some things that you and I should really do our best to avoid, because after all, God hates these things. He's against these things. The very first one is said here to be, verse 17, a proud look. A proud look. So I'm just going to phrase it this way. God hates pride. God hates pride. Can you tell me what the middle letter in the word pride is?
I.
That's significant. Because when pride is involved in your life or mine, we are at the center. And that's not a good place for us to be. Now, there's a lot of different, you know, forms of pride. There's a lot of different levels of pride. Probably in this room this morning, starting with me and all the way to the back wall there, there's probably different levels of pride, you know, that we all deal with. And by the way, I think we still deal with this even as a Christian. Pride is something that wants to rear its ugly head at the wrong time. But pride really is putting self first, you know, exalting self above everyone else and everything else. Sometimes pride even exalts self even above God. And of course, that's definitely wrong. We know that to be true. Pride is also, by the way, the opposite of humility. On one end of the spectrum, you have humility. We all know what that is when we see it. On the other end of the spectrum, we have pride. And we all know what that is when we see it. All right? And then, of course, there's in between, there's different levels of maybe each. But humility, pride is the opposite of humility. By the way, pride is also the absence of humility. People that are very proud, humility is generally lacking in their life. People that are always putting themselves first, people that really, you know, you've seen this, I've seen this, because they have self at the center, because they're all about exalting self, it's kind of like this. Somebody told me this story not that long ago. They were in a parking lot looking for a parking place. They found a parking place. They were waiting for someone who was backing out of that area, backing out so that they could pull in. And before they could pull in, because of the way the other one was backing out, before they could pull in, somebody else quick pulled in that spot. Even though they saw that original person waiting for that spot. Now, you may not call that pride, but I think it is. It's putting self first. It's not really where, you know, sometimes I laugh every time I think about finding a parking spot, because I remember a time driving around with my dad, and we were going to visit somebody. He was a pastor, and I was working with him. We were going to visit somebody, and I think it might have even been in a hospital, and he was driving through the parking lot trying to find a place to park, and he laughed, and he said, "You know what I'm doing, Mark?" And I said, "What's that?" He said, "I'm trying to find a place close to the hospital so I can make this visit and then quickly get to the gym and work out." We both laughed and laughed and laughed because we know, and by the way, you and I all, we all know this, if you'll park a little bit further away from the door, maybe you don't need a gym membership. Maybe you could get the exercise you need just by walking a little more. Hello? So anyway, we laughed and laughed about that. But pride is putting self first and not caring about others and hurt feelings and all that kind of stuff, exalting self. I'm number one. I need to be first. I need to look out for me, because after all, if I don't look out for me, who will? I've got to do it. I don't know what you do when you walk into a building or a store or a business of some kind, but I like to look behind me to see if anybody's there. I don't want to just let go of the door and let it slam in their face. But people all around the United States of America are doing that today without even thinking about the people behind them. There's so many areas like this. There's so many things in life that I could point out like this, that it's because basically pride. I got to look out for me. I got to take care of number one. I got to make sure that I get the biggest piece of chocolate cake on the dessert table downstairs. You know, I got to make sure that I get my plate full. I got to go through the line first. I got to make sure that I take care of myself, because if I don't, nobody else will. Friend, I want you to know the Bible says right here very plainly, God is against that. God hates pride. But you know what? The Bible also says that God loves humility. Listen to a couple of verses. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you, all of you be subject one to another. Did you hear that? All of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Practice humility. Here's another verse, James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We need more humble folks. We need more humble people. Now listen, humility is not, oh, I'm no good, I'm worthless, I just should be thrown in the trash heap. You know, you heard me say this recently. If I fall down, just step over me, keep on going. You know, that's not at all true biblical humility, all right? Humility, of course, is knowing who you are in Christ. But again, it's putting others before yourself. It's not exalting self. It's trying to exalt the Lord in your life by serving others and putting others before yourself. And let God exalt you when the timing is right. So the Bible says again in verse 17 here, the very first thing, God hates a proud look. The next thing that's mentioned here in verse 17 is a lying tongue. A lying tongue. So God is against lying, isn't he? God is against lying. In fact, it says it very clearly here. He hates lying. Pastor, what is lying? You ready? Not telling the truth. Not telling the truth. I sometimes wonder why I watch the weather. Have you ever had this? I remember one time I was sitting in a vehicle with my mother this time, and we were in a nearby city, and we used to raise sweet corn on our farm and one little portion of it, and then when it was ready, we'd take it into town and we'd try to sell it. And we were sitting in a parking lot, and I was with my mother, and I think it was just the two of us in the car, and it was raining cats and dogs. You know what that means. You know, not quite sheep and goats, but cats and dogs, okay? And it was raining really, really hard, and we were sitting in the car, and we had the radio on, because you can't be out selling corn when it's raining like that. Nobody's going to come by and buy any. Waiting for the rain to stop, and we had the radio on, and the news was on, and you know how they do on the top of the hour, and then they gave a weather report, and the weatherman told us that today it was going to be partly cloudy. And both my mom and I looked at each other and we laughed and we looked out the window. And of course, it's just raining cats and dogs. And we both said this about the same time. Have you looked out your window? Weathermen, Jim Yost always calls them weather guessers. They never lie, do they? Have you ever noticed this? When they blow the forecast, the next time they're on, they don't apologize. Did you ever notice that? Sometimes I wonder why I watch the news. They never lie, do they? Did you know the Bible says right here, very, very plainly, God hates lying? Lying is not telling the truth. Shouldn't you and I, who serve a God of truth, shouldn't we also be men and women of truth? I mean, to me, it just makes sense. We should be very, very careful about not telling the truth. Lying, of course, is the absence of truth or not telling the truth. Sometimes, you ready for this? I hope you have your steel-toed shoes on today. But sometimes lying is even coloring or shading the truth. You know, it's like this. I don't know if they still do this or not, but you see sometimes on different shows where you're going to put one hand on the Bible and one hand you lift up, and you promise that you're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. I've heard in places they're eliminating the so help me God part. But anyway, telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Wouldn't it be good if people did that? Wouldn't it be good if everyone did that? Wouldn't that be good if God's people did that? Oh, me. Wouldn't that be good if pastors did that? Yes. Because there's plenty of pastors who aren't telling their people the truth. God hates lying. Let me give you a couple of verses here. I got several. Psalm 31, verse 18. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Notice again, let the lying lips be put to silence. Psalm 119, verse 29. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. Proverbs 12, verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Ephesians 4, 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. There's lots of verses on this topic. God hates lying. And you and I should avoid lying every chance we possibly can. You know, a good rule of thumb is this. If you can't say something without lying, then don't say something. Your mama ever tell you, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all? My mama told me that. God hates lying. Look at what else it says here in verse 17. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. So we learned already that God hates pride, he hates lying. And then thirdly here, he hates hands that shed innocent blood. One of the reasons I think, as I thought about this and dwelled on this and prayed over this, one of the reasons why I believe God says in his word that he hates the shedding of blood, the shedding of innocent blood is what it says, is because that God is the one who gives life. God is the one who gives life. Remember the Bible says about Adam, when God made Adam, he formed him, you know, from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God gave him life. In fact, as God gives all of us life, and you and I only have the right to try to keep breathing, right? I mean, we're trying. We're doing the best we can. Dad used to tell me, that's the secret to living a long life, Mark. Just keep on breathing. I'm doing my best, Dad. I'm doing my best. But shedding innocent blood, God is the one who gives life. And so I believe that's one of the reasons why it is said this way. Another reason might be this, because according to God's word, life is not only a gift from God, but life is precious. I believe, this is me, but I believe life is precious in the womb. And I believe life is precious at the other end of the spectrum also, when you reach the twilight years. God is the one who gives life, and God is the one who has the right to say when that life should be over. It's not really up to us. It's up to the Lord. But the shedding of innocent blood is happening around the world today, and the first area I want to talk about is violence. Violence. Have you noticed, did you happen to see this on the news? There was a man who stole somebody's car, hijacked somebody's car, stole it, and then used it as a weapon to try to run people down. I forget what city that was in. But I watched it. I couldn't believe it. And then my wife and I both looking at each other and asked this question, what is wrong with people today? Honestly, what is wrong with people today? That someone would do that. And I know you can blame mental problems, and you can blame drugs, and you can blame lots of stuff. But what is wrong with people today? It's just, the world is goofy, isn't it? And my opinion, the world is hooked on violence today. There's a lot of folks that think that we should solve our differences by way of violence. If you think back over the last year or two in America and newscasts that you have seen, you will remember with me that there are numbers of cases where people with a knife or a gun or even with their fists try to silence someone they disagreed with violence. With violence. And the Bible says God hates that. The shedding of innocent blood, that fits into this. Violence is not the way to solve our problems. Violence is not the way to solve our differences. How did we get to the place where we can't even sit down and debate with each other and just discuss with each other? Okay, so you have a different viewpoint than I do, and I have a different viewpoint than you. Can't we still be friends? Can't we still discuss it and talk about it? Maybe you can try to convince me and I can try to convince you, but we don't have to resort to violence, do we? But boy, there's a lot of folks today that's what they resort to. That's what they resort to, violence. The shedding of innocent blood, and God says he's against that. Of course, the shedding of innocent blood also comes by way of euthanasia. Again, men and women in their twilight years. And, you know, Canada's going through this right now where they even passed a law that made it legal. It's okay to do this. And people are going ahead with that practice and ending life that they don't feel is worthwhile anymore. And sometimes it's been said that sometimes that law has already been used for people to take their own life because they just don't like the way their life is going. That's the shedding of innocent blood. And God says he's against that. And then if you go to the opposite end of the spectrum, of course, back to the womb, we've got abortions happening at a record pace, by the way. The nice thing that happened with the Supreme Court and the overturning of Roe v. Wade really didn't do much to slow down abortion. Last thing I read, just like within a week, 1.1 million abortions last year. 1.1 million in America last year. Many of them, most of them, by way of the abortion pill. Chemical abortion. So overturning Roe v. Wade really didn't do a whole lot to slow down abortions in America. And friend, that again, that's the shedding of innocent blood. The womb of the mother should be one of the safest places in all the world, but in many cases, it's the most dangerous place in all the world because of abortion. And God says, I hate pride, I hate lying, and I also hate the shedding of innocent blood. Let's move on. Verse number 18 says, after he mentions these six things, doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Verse 18, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. So God hates hearts that devise wicked imaginations. This is referring to people who are continually thinking wicked thoughts. People who are continually thinking wicked thoughts. The vast majority of these, of course, are unsaved people. Their thoughts are being led by the evil one, but their thoughts are all about evil, wickedness, sin, debauchery, you know, those kind of things. They're devising wicked imaginations. Right away, when I come to this little part of the verse, I think about the days of Noah. When God says about the people in Noah's day, now not Noah and his family, those eight people that God saved through the ark, but the other folks in the world, the Bible says that every imagination of their heart was only wicked or evil continuously. That's all they thought about. Well, then, of course, I don't know about you, but I think about Sodom and Gomorrah. And God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of the evil, wicked thoughts that the people were thinking and also acting on. All right? And then, of course, I think about many today. I hope it doesn't get too bumpy for folks today, but a lot of the entertainment media is all about violence and wickedness. And, of course, shedding of innocent blood. But wicked imaginations. Wicked imaginations. I'm not a big horror film fan. In fact, usually I just avoid them. But you know this. They're a big hit when they come out. The new horror movies, they're a big hit. People flock to go see them. And then a lot of other movies that are just filled with violence and wickedness and evil things. Sarah, again, and I were talking about this today, and so many of today's programming, and so much of today's programming, if an unmarried man and an unmarried woman are together, one of the first places they head is to bed. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. To have children out of wedlock is not biblical. To have sexual relations with someone else of opposite sex or the same sex is not biblical. Again, wicked imaginations. We have what's happening today, and by the way, as long as there's a breath in this body, this will never happen here. But we have churches in America who are hosting drag queens and letting them teach the children. As long as there's a breath in this body, we're not doing that here. We are not doing that here. That's wicked imaginations. That's evil. That's sinful. That's an abomination before the Lord. You say, well, you're not very inclusive. On that point, you're right. I am not willing to include them. I am not. But God is talking about people who, in their heart and in their thoughts and in their mind, they're always continually thinking wicked thoughts, evil thoughts. Again, many of these folks, most of these people are not saved, and their thoughts are being led by the evil one, which is why they come up with what they come up with. But these people are similar to those who lived just prior to the flood or during the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Some of those folks are alive today. Listen to what the book of Romans says about these folks in Romans chapter 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Interesting that that's lumped in there. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, listen to this, but have pleasure in them that do them. Much of our entertainment, industry, thank you. Much of our entertainment industry in America today, maybe the world probably, is found right here in Romans chapter 1. Right there. I can't speak for you, I can speak for me. Give me some of that wholesome programming we used to have. Give me some of that program where no one swore. Pastor, was that ever really happening? I promise it did. You never had to worry about the characters swearing. You never had to worry about the characters, male and female, going to bed and you know, going through all their gyrations. You never had to worry about that. Now, I realize, I hope nobody here, but some folks would say, oh, how boring. Most of the programming at that time taught biblical values. Right and wrong. You were rewarded if you did right. You were punished if you did wrong. I mean, some of the wholesome programming of years ago. Give me some of that. so much better. But the world in which we live today, the entertainment industry, is all wrapped up in what's described here in Romans chapter 1. And the Bible says, again, God hates hearts that devise wicked imaginations. Now, there is a remedy for all these things that we're talking about today. And by the way, the remedy is salvation and Scripture. And, of course, the Spirit of God. But biblical salvation greatly changes a person's thinking. So the Bible says here in verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Look at this. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. God hates feet that are swift in running to mischief. This refers to someone who is quick to instigate or be a party to deeds that are mischievous. Feet that are swift in running to mischief. This person enjoys being a part of deeds that cause trouble and or annoyance for others. This person is one whose jollies, personal enjoyment, comes from just stirring the pot and causing frustrations and trouble for others. Feet that are swift in running to mischief. Exactly the opposite of Romans 12:18, which says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Exactly the opposite of that verse. Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, it's the golden rule. You treat others like you would want to be treated. Instead of being one whose feet are swift in running to mischief. We all knew people, probably, while we were growing up, that were troublemakers. They were always getting into trouble. You know, were always doing anything they could to disrupt and to cause angst for other people. God doesn't want us to be like that. Notice the text again, if you would. These six things thus the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies. So apparently God hates a false witness who speaks lies. Who is this person? Well, this person is the one who does not tell the truth about other people or about events that happened. This person who does this, who's a false witness. You know, you can be a witness or you can be a false witness. The proper witness, of course, tells the truth, tells honestly, speaks the truth, like we talked about earlier in the message, says the truth, all right? But a false witness doesn't do that. They are guilty of twisting. They are guilty of perverting. They are guilty of shading. They are guilty of distorting. And what they're telling you are not true things. They're lies. God hates a false witness who speaks lies. By the way, do you ever hear the word gossip? Do you ever hear the word tale-bearing? Goes along with what this is saying. God hates a false witness who speaks lies. Exodus 23, verse 1, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Wow. Exodus 23, 1. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Proverbs 14, 15. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. That verse again, Proverbs 14, 5. A false witness will not lie. I'm sorry. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. I said this earlier, and I want to say it again here. Our God is a God of truth. And to me, that says his children should also try to live by the truth. One more thing is mentioned here, and then we'll be done. Appreciate your patience today. Verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So apparently God is not for those who sow discord among the brethren. Did you know that it's God's desire that his children all get along with each other? God's desire for his children, which here is referred to as the brethren, is that they all live together in peace and harmony and unity. Several times in the first couple of chapters of the book of Acts, you read that word accord, or unity, or oneness, that's all spoken of in the New Testament. God expects that from us. God expects us to get along with each other and to love each other and have peace and harmony and unity. Psalm 133, verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The person referred to here is not working toward peace and harmony and unity. Rather, this person is working against peace and harmony and unity. Listen, I have known people like this in my life who claim to be Christians, but who take great pride in constantly keeping going a little bit of a stream of discontent, of disunity. For some odd reason, they like to be a part of that undercurrent that just keeps everything from being exactly peaceful and harmonious and of one accord. And I could just be their personality, but I think to myself, why? When the Bible says very, very clearly God hates that, the sowing of discord among brethren. By the way, let me ask you this. Who do you think is behind the sowing of discord among brethren? Satan, the evil one, right? That's his business. That's what he does. Why would we want to help him? We shouldn't help him for a second. In fact, we ought to take our heel and stomp on his face. I mean, really, I mean, we don't need to be party to that. God hates the sowing of discord among brethren. So, having gone through this list, notice again the verses. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Having gone through these six, yea, seven things that God says he hates, I want to encourage all of us today, let's do our best to avoid those things. Amen? You know what this is? This is a Firestone message. This is one of those messages where the rubber meets the road. This is practical, biblical teaching right here. This is more than just presenting the gospel every Sunday. This is getting right down to where we live and how we behave with one another. We need to avoid these things because God says we need to avoid these things. So I want to encourage you. Now, let me say this also. I have this in my notes, and I dare not forget this because God put this on my heart when I was putting all this together. I'm not saying you hate those involved in those things. I'm saying you hate those behaviors. You avoid those behaviors. All right, let me put it this way. Let God hate it. You just avoid it. Okay? Because sometimes people will hear something like this, say, well, you're really hateful and, you know, you hate people and all. No, you're missing the whole point, friend. I'm a sinner just like everyone else. But God is warning us here to avoid those things because he's against those things. So this is, again, one of those just practical living type of messages that I hope you'll take with you when you leave here today. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking. I know I never did give you the title, but I just borrowed it from the first few verses, These Six Things. That was my title today, These Six Things. Father in heaven, please, again, these thoughts are so common, so practical, so basic, and yet, there sure are a lot of folks today that aren't practicing these things or avoiding these things. When I say practicing, I mean avoiding, just not being involved in those things. They're not practicing what God is trying to say to us. So help us who know you as our Lord and Savior, who have the Scriptures, who have the Spirit of God living inside. Help us to avoid these kind of behaviors. And help us to do our very, very best to please you in all the things that we do. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.